Good morning, Mountain View.
Good morning.
It's so nice to see our friends from early to earlier services here today and that we can all be together. I have a few announcements that are in our bulletin that I'd like you to take note of. First of all, the Christmas Eve services are 5, 7, and 9, and at 8:30, the Christmas gift of singing Christmas carols together. And then next week, we have a chance to mingle together again with a wonderful pancake breakfast at 9 o'clock before the single service that's at 10:30. Thank you.
It is good to be with you all this morning. I'm Pastor Sarah, and on behalf of our pastoral team, Pastor Steve and I want to greet you to Mountain View. Thank you all for being here. Pick up some popcorn on your way out. Thanks for popping in. And I was wondering if there are any other visitors among us that would like a gift, a holiday gift. It's wrapped in red. Some popcorn for popping in. I see lots of families together today. Yes, hello, welcome. What's your name?
Ella.
Ella, thanks for being here. Thanks.
I'm here. We're visiting our mom.
Brilliant.
Yep.
Good to.
California.
From California. Well, thanks for bringing warm weather this morning. Anyone else? Well, it is, again, good to worship with you on this fourth Sunday of Advent, and may we experience the joy of expectancy this day. I'll invite you to stand now and greet your neighbors.
Good morning, Mountain View. You will find devotion books to use along with the lighting of the Advent candles in the pews. As you reflect on the reading, feel free to add your thoughts, drawings, or doodles to the blank pages provided. You may leave the devotion books in the pews or take them home. The books will be available throughout Advent, if there's any still left. Our church-wide Advent study this year is based on faithful persons of the Nativity. As we light our fourth Advent candle, we celebrate the gift of new life given to Mary, the mother of Jesus. After all, Mary had a baby, and that's what Christmas is all about. Mary had a baby, and we now share that reality with wonder and joy. Mary had a baby, and love and awe fill our hearts. Mary had a baby, and our lives can never be the same. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is our way out of dead-end celebrations and empty living. Jesus is our Emmanuel. The Bible says, "For the mighty one has done great things. God has considered the humble state of his servant, so all may be blessed. God's mercy extends to those who worship him, and God has filled the hungry with good things." It is not too soon for us to begin to celebrate with joy and thanksgiving that Mary had a baby.
This reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." Please join me in the prayer. O God, our God, when we think of Mary, we wonder how many people you spoke to before you found one to say yes. Allow us instead to see as Mary saw, and to understand as Mary understood, that your light might shine out to the world and your message might live in our midst. When you send your angel to us this Christmas with the message of hope, help us to hear as Mary heard. Young and frightened though she was, Mary understood your gift as blessing. Trusting and patient, Mary recognized your child as hope. May we also see and understand, receive and love, and acknowledge your Christmas gift.
You may be, oh, no, I'm sorry. Please stay standing and let us join in the invitation to worship. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, O Promised One, We come again to the season of Advent and await your joyful presence. Give us patience to seek meaning in these busy days. Give us courage to wait in times of pain and trouble. Give us compassion to wait for one another.
Give us faith to wait for the Messiah.
When we are threatened by the Herods of this world, give us hope to wait for the Savior, even when we cannot yet hear the angel's song. And give us love that does not wait when we meet Christ in our neighborhood. Amen. You may be seated. And I'll invite you to hang out with the kids for a moment.
Come on over, guys.
It's good to play you guys.
Yeah, come on over here. You can have a seat, if you'd like. That would be great. Hi, it's good to see you. You guys don't have a clue who I am, because I have never done this before. This is the first time. I'm Mr. Steve, and I am the music director here. So I much prefer to sing than to talk. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sing you a story today, if you don't mind. And it's about this donkey. And the donkey doesn't feel very good about himself. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I know sometimes people, we don't feel good about ourselves because we made mistakes at home or at school or at work, and we just feel kind of bad. But here's the cool thing. The cool thing is that God, when you're feeling bad, God reaches out to you, and he gives you something special to do. So I'd like to sing you a little song about just that. Is that all right? Okay. It's about a donkey.
Long ago in another day, a donkey cried in his donkey way, I'm not beautiful, I'm not beautiful. What good to anyone am I? Other animals are big and strong, or rare, or filled with an animal song. But I'm not beautiful, I'm not beautiful. What good to anyone am I? Can carry, will you carry Mary, angels for your guide? On Christmas morn, in a stable of hay, a donkey smiled in his donkey way. I feel beautiful, I feel beautiful, as beautiful as anyone am I, as beautiful as anyone am I. I feel beautiful, I feel beautiful.
Shall we pray? You could speak after me. Dear God, thank you for making us beautiful.
Thank you for making us beautiful.
Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Mary had a baby born, the Virgin Mary. be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I'm going to invite you to practice along with me in our continual spiritual practice for this season, which is prayer and meditation. And I recognize that this being December 23rd, it's quite likely you've got lists going through your head. You might have some worries that are still heavy on your heart, or maybe you're watching kids for the first time. But as you are able, I want to invite you to come into this space. And if that means your eyes can be closed, that would be great. I'm going to lead you into a two-minute guided meditation, and then we will all pray together. So let us go into this time to practice our heart. I invite you to think on a time when you received a gift during the holidays or another time, and you were surprised. What was that unexpected gift? Maybe you got a bike as a kid. Maybe it was an engagement ring. Maybe you had a gift of promotion or the visit from someone you hadn't seen in a while. Perhaps it was the gift of an apology. Think about what was in your mind when you received that gift. What was your mind's reaction? Now remember the sensations that you felt, those feelings and emotions that came over you. And now go just one spot further to your body. Remember how your body responded to this experience of receiving an unexpected gift. Take note now of how your body feels, of how your body is responding to this memory. And know that deep down, beyond our mind, beyond our feelings and sensations, even deeper than our body, what we experience is what is true. And it's actually sometimes the very thing that we deny about ourselves. This is the place that you can connect to the joy that runs deeply within you. It is that joy that resides in your true self. So think on this for a moment. How does that joy meet hope for an expectancy that still resides within you? Take a deep breath and allow that breath to be a reminder of the truth that that gift, that unexpected gift you received, represents and mirrors the very virtues that reside deeply within us. For the joy that you experienced, for the hope that you experienced, for the gratitude, and perhaps even the feeling of, I'm not worthy. Instead, this gift is the reminder that we are the joy and the hope and the beautiful virtues that live and reside deep within us. Those are who we are. Take another deep breath. and know that what you expect, what you are experiencing in expectancy this year, will reside with that memory of great surprise. And may they be met with an open heart this day and evermore. I invite you to open your eyes, and we'll come back together. Again, we all come with different things on our minds, our hearts, different obligations, watching children or being with relatives. So if this is a meditation that you can take home with you over the next couple days, I invite you to do that. We have many joys and concerns that we might share as a community. And so I want to give us an opportunity to lift those up. I would like to first lift up Susan Carl, our organist. She's not with us today, and she won't be with us tomorrow. She had her appendix taken out last week, but she is on the road to recovery, and Steve went to see her last week, and she's looking forward to being back among us. So hold Susan in your prayers, and if you can give her a phone call, I'm sure she would love to hear from you. What other joys or concerns would you lift up with this community? Yes, Donnie?
I'd just like to lift up all the people that are forced to be away from their loved ones this Christmas for whatever reasons. Myself, I'm stuck in the work release program, but I also have a joy out of that. I got a new job at Einstein Bagels.
Great.
There's been immediate talk of me getting moved up to assistant manager down the line, and I'm very thankful for that.
Great. So, combo prayer for prayers for those who are not able to be with their family, and then a prayer of thanksgiving for Donnie and his new position at Einstein Bagels. Excellent. Ken, did I see your hand?
Speak for all of our family that have joined us, the joy of having family together.
The joy of having family. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And care for those who are traveling safely. Yes, Pua.
Anthony is home.
Kazaa. I wanted to say this last week because there were lots of students home from college during Mountain View Sings. It's always fun to see faces that we haven't seen for a couple months back. So I'm glad you're here. Others that you would, yeah, Ryan.
My brother came home from Afghanistan early last week.
Kazaa. What's his name?
Scott.
Scott, Ryan's brother, came back from Afghanistan early, so we thank him for his service, and we're so grateful that you can be with your family, at least in this country, if not at home. Yeah, Desiree?
I've been having some unexplained pain since the surgery that my doctors can't figure out.
Okay. So Desiree is having some unexplained pain that her doctors can't figure out, so prayers for wisdom and for healing for you. Yes? Great. Some more California folk hoping for snow. I'm glad you guys are here. Welcome. Yes. Great, thank you. So a prayer for healing and a prayer of thanksgiving for a new movie called Christmas in Tennessee. It brings joy. Yeah, Leanne. Thank you. So Joanne Jocelyn's father passed away. He lived to the ripe old age of 102. So this is a burden, a tender place, but also a life well lived. Thank you, Leanne. Yes.
I want to make prayer and joy for all of those who may have suffered a loss this year, and that we're celebrating Christmas in a sensitive time of mourning, grieving, and celebrating, and just in prayer that.
Absolutely. So recognizing that we all come with different heavinesses on our heart, those who are experiencing loss and grief from this year, we lift you up. and recognize that sometimes this is the hardest time of year, but that you are surrounded. Thank you for mentioning that. Yes, Tula.
My brother was accepted into a drug study on Thursday for his rare heart condition. And this drug is supposed to increase his life expectancy by about 30%, stop the progression of the disease.
Brilliant.
It's a huge thing.
Absolutely. Tula, what is his name?
Gary.
So we pray for Tula's brother, Gary, who is going through some experimental treatment for a heart condition. Any others? Yes.
Focusing on the joy of Christmas and not the consumerism or the family drama or any negativity that people
focus on. So a prayer for focusing on joy as opposed to consumerism and negativity, family drama that comes. So we all know where we sit around the table, and may we experience joy in that place. All right. Well, we have many things that are on our hearts and minds, and so let us go to God in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we thank you so much for the ways in which you have called us to this place, to be a community together and to be in hopeful expectancy of your Son to come, for the joy, the hope, the love, and the peace that he promises. And so in this moment of stillness, with music, with sounds of children, with the deep breaths within us, be with us and let us pray. God, we know the joys, we know the tendernesses that exist. We recognize that sometimes this season is just overwhelming with gratitude, and sometimes it is filled with uncertainty and pain and suffering. We lift up this paradox and ask that as you come to be with us again, that you give us strength to hold that paradox, to give us resilience in the moment, and to help us abide in you, abide in the truth of who we are as your beloved sons and daughters. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you, to praise, to give, to offer thanksgiving, to lament, and again, to honor you for who you are in our lives and in all the world. We pray all of this in your Son's name, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to stand as you're able to join us in our next song.
Won't you be seated? And as our ushers come forward, we acknowledge the gifts that we bring are but tokens. They are but apologies for gifts. The work of the kingdom of God is in our lives. It's in our work, it's in our families, it's in our hearts, and the gifts that we bring. May God bless you as you are able to give for the work of the kingdom. Thank you. For all of your gifts to us, for the inspiration of music that causes little children to dance, for the desire of our hearts fulfilled in your Son Jesus, and for the reality of your presence in moments which are less than holy. Thank you, God, for showing us your light, your will, and your way. Through Jesus Christ, amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture this morning is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Such a delight to be together, to worship God together as God's people, seeking God's face. Perhaps the most significant emotion that I feel at this time of year is gratitude, knowing that God's people come with their doubts, come with their uncertainties as I do, and knowing that God has light to transform our darkness and hope to declare God's presence. In the passage you just heard, Zechariah and Elizabeth are well past childbearing. They long ago packed up the nursery and started putting money into their retirement account. Though they had dreamt and begged, wept and prayed, and kept faith with God, it just wasn't in the cards. Or was it? As part of his priestly duties at the temple, one day old Zechariah was lighting incense when the angel of the Lord came to him and told him about the child to be born, the forerunner of God's Messiah. Zechariah was so stunned, so disbelieving of the news, that the angel Gabriel stuck him dumb until John was born to he and Elizabeth. At the angel's instruction, little John was to be dedicated to God and would announce the coming of Jesus, our Emmanuel. We've been hearing about this John, old John the Baptist, all these weeks of Advent, prophet of warning and water, a wild man of the wilderness, a purveyor of cryptic promises and hard justice. But the first time we hear about John in the Bible is here in Luke, as an unborn babe, John the Baptist makes himself known. Mary is full of God's tangible grace, visits the other miracle mother bearing John the Baptist, Elizabeth, her cousin. What a tender and beautiful meeting. I imagine them embracing and conversing and sitting together, waiting anxiously, yet hopefully together. Wonder and excitement fill the air. There's a quickening flutter which Elizabeth could not ignore. We wonder over Mary, her mood, her steadfast trust, and her uncertain yet confident faith in God. And to this day, a telling potential which is unfolding in your life and in mine. Our daughter Margie is to have her first child in June, and everyone is full of excitement and happiness and awe. Margie has an app on her iPhone which gives her an idea of the development of her child. And a few weeks ago, it was the size of a marble, and then a mouse, and now a canary. Our littlest grandchild is now the size of a bright yellow canary who will soon fill the nursery with its infant song. Since this is her first pregnancy, our daughter is particularly engrossed in these details of the baby's development. And so are we. We look forward to her weekly updates and reports, which have the effect of confirming that this thing is really going to happen, child, and it's going to happen in June. That maybe baby is now for real deal, and our growing excitement is infectious. For who can ignore the excitement in her heart, in her eyes, the real joy in knowing that she will be a mother soon? Now, last week I had lunch with her, and I asked her, have you felt the quickening? Now, that's a really strange question for me to be asking her, but at the time it seemed like the right thing to do. She said, well, Daddy, maybe, but because I've never done this before, I can't be sure what I'm looking for. She and her husband, Dusty, are full of anticipation, uncertain of what she's looking for, spiritually leaning forward, wondering and expectant, imagining all the joy that is yet to be born into their household. She's still waiting and watching, still waiting and watching for the baby to move within her. In this passage we read this morning, Elizabeth is at about the same place, busy about her morning chores when she hears Mary greeting her in the courtyard. The Bible records that Elizabeth couldn't help but feel not a flutter, but a mighty kick of answered prayer. She felt the emancipated somersault of God's joyful, fulfilled promise in her womb. It was hard to miss. John, the promised child of her old age, the last and greatest of the prophets of Israel, made himself known in no uncertain terms. This is the story of earthly acknowledgement, friends. This is the story of human knowing, of holy recognition. Ah, ha, ha! So this is not a maybe baby, this is a for sure deal. That baby is coming. In this passage, we witness, my friends, the kingdom of God being ushered in by two pregnant women who believed and acted upon the promises of God. Mary and Elizabeth believe, first of all, that the promises of God are possible, and secondly, that these promises will be fulfilled in their lives, in their midst, in their waking up and their going to bed, in their families, in their hopes, and in their dreams. Christmas, for all of its activities and checklists, is a story of recognition. It is the narrative of acknowledgement. It is the willingness to see God alive and active in our lives, not as some historical once upon a time, but as a flowering expression of hope and joy for us. That if we have ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to feel, we may yet know that joy is coming our way. It's yet to be born into our lives, but it's coming. We may have tuned our senses to other things: Christmas lists, Christmas letters, Christmas greetings, Christmas debts, Christmas impossibilities, Christmas disappointments. But our faith calls us in this season to dial our spirits into God's wavelength instead. In this holy season, God is calling us to stop, look, and listen for his presence and possibilities. Allow me this personal illustration. From an early age, if you know me at all, you know I have been fascinated by the natural order. I grew up imitating animals in the yard and cats in the barn and birds in the trees. I'm sure my parents would have preferred that I had imitated yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And sometimes I did that too. The sights and sounds of God's creation captivate me to this day. I watch for the change of seasons. I taste the air for potential snow or rain, which we desperately need these days. At other times of year, I search for what may be blooming out in the world. Did you know that we're a mere 6 weeks away from honeybees starting to collect maple pollen to renew their hives? 6 weeks. And change is coming. About a month ago, Beth had the great idea of inviting a friend of ours to join us for dinner. They live in Colorado Springs, and so we invited them to come up to Park Meadows. Park Meadows Mall is about halfway between us if you count for traffic. We have known Kathy and her family for over 4 decades, and through life's countless celebrations and defeats, We've been there for each other. We are deep and lasting friends all the way back to college days. Not 2 years ago, Kathy's husband Randy died suddenly in a massive coronary while he was playing a game of rugby. He simply went out one afternoon and did not come home again. And he left behind a wife and two bright teenage children. And it's an understatement to say that his death has left a big hole in all of our lives. And our friend Kathy has struggled to navigate these uncertain waters with her two teenagers. We met Kathy and her son Scott in the mall parking lot, and as we walked through the cold and the early darkness toward the restaurant, we were immersed in the normal sounds of Christmas. People driving up and down the aisles, all too aggressively waiting for all too rare and way too narrow good parking spot there in Park Meadows. I swear they have shrunk the parking spaces to infinitesimal size. The exhaust from cars stacked end to end on I-25, laying a dark layer of grime on the cars on the icy tarmac, left a smudge on our clothing as we walked out. And people pushed past us to get on with checking things off their shopping list. Unexpectedly, while walking together in the din of holiday evening on the back blacktop of Park Meadows Mall, I distinctly heard the call of an American hoot owl. Totally out of place in the urban setting, a barred owl called out, "Did you hear that?" I stopped in my tracks and waited for a response. Our young friend Scott looked at me and said, "Heard what?" Wondering why it stopped in the middle of the lane with all this traffic. I said, "Just listen." He was tuned to the cars and the traffic, the people in the normal din of the parking lot, and didn't hear the call when it came a second time. "How about that time?" I said. "Nope, nothing." "What are you talking about?" he said, likely thinking that old Steve had lost his marbles. The barred owl, the hoot owl, the American barred owl. This time, I made the call myself, waited for the response. Finally, after a minute or so, standing out in the cold, our breath visible in the night air, he called back. And that time, my young friend could hear it. He recognized the call of the winged raptor, a bit out of place and totally unexpected. We actually have a barred owl that lives in this neighborhood, and at night in the wintertime, if you make that call, you could get a response. One Christmas Eve, the barred owl sat on top of the church roof, and we talked for about 15 minutes. Just like Elizabeth and Mary, who heard together a sound long awaited, felt a movement long expected, watched for development long in the making. The message today is of recognition. Can we somehow acknowledge the ordinary blessings and divine potential that God is birthing this Christmas? Can we find it within ourselves to listen for the sounds and search for the signs and trust in God for our divine flutterings? May they be unmistakable and real. As I prepared this message this week for you, I've had an earworm ringing in my ear. This is something that won't go away. So I'm going to invite you into it. Do you hear what I hear? Do You Hear What I Hear was a song released in November of 1962 as a plea for peace following the Cuban Missile Crisis. And if you are old enough to remember or have participated in the fearful moments and days, it was a welcome relief. It's actually been covered by hundreds and hundreds of Christmas collections and artists. It was originally written to counter the commercialism of Christmas.
What can we acknowledge and hear about God in this holiday season? What will we allow? Who do we honor with our Christmas rituals this week? Who do we worship? How can we tune our hearts and senses to the hope and joy which is being born into our lives if we have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts which beat for God and yearn for God's presence? Would you sing with me?
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the sky with a tail as big as a kite. Said the lamb to the shepherd boy, do you know what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea. Shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace, almighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring silver and gold. Sent the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere, listen to what I say. The child sleeping in the night,
that earworm yourself now. I've given it away. May we discover the flutterings, male and female, within us, the holy nudges, the eternal possibilities that we have closed off for ourselves for far too long. May we recognize in the gift of the child Jesus a time of acknowledgement, a time of knowing, a time of recognition. And may we in our hearts say, aha, aha, aha. Did you hear that? Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand with me as we sing together our closing hymn. Men and women of faith, would you discover the quickening in your soul this week? As we participate in our rituals, our worship, our experiences shared, the fluttering that can't be experienced any other way, the quickening of hope and joy in your life and in mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.